are in part three of a series called The Timeline for the End Times. I want you to know that Jesus is coming back very, very soon. Oftentimes people live like he's not. And I want you to know that he is very soon. And for those of us who are ready, those of us who have been living for the Lord, you're going to be caught up in the air. And for those of us who are not, you're going to be left behind. Let me show you a timeline on where we're at. I talked about this in part one and part two, so I'm not going to go through it in detail. If you want to watch it, you can go to our YouTube channel and check it out. This is when Jesus died and rose again. This is the church age. This is where we are right now. This is where the disciples were in Acts chapter 2. And at any moment, I talked about certain signs that would happen before this happens. It should happen anytime. It could happen today. I wouldn't be surprised. If it happened in 10 years, I wouldn't be surprised. I personally don't believe that I'll die before that happens. And again, there's certain signs that have never happened before that tell us this. And so this is the rapture of the church. This is for when people get left behind. This is going to be a very, very, very bad time. Those of us who are raptured, we will stand before God on the judgment seat, but this is not going to be a bad moment. This is going to be an awesome moment. For the believers, God does not remember your sins. So you're not judged for those. You are honored and you receive rewards. Rewards like there are so many people who fell away from the faith. There are so many people who ignored the Lord. And you faced trouble and you faced hard times. And you couldn't see him, but you continued to believe in him. You're rewarded for things like that. This is while they're going through 7 years of tribulation, you're at a wedding feast. You're eating spaghetti and meatballs, lasagna, the whole nine yards. I'm Italian, so I'm going to look for that side of the table. This is Christ's second coming. Again, I'm not going to go into it. This is when Satan gets thrown into Hades. He won't torment you. Anyone here who's ever been tormented, you know when you're tormented, where your mind and your emotions are going to a place that you know is not natural. Satan is controlling those emotions. When we come, during this millennium reign, we're going to be on earth, and there's not going to be a Satan. We're not being tormented. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. This is for 1,000 years. People are going to be born during this time. Babies are going to be born. People are going to grow up. We're here for 1,000 years. Now, it's not fair for you and I to live our life and all those people who have ever lived, and Satan gets to torment them and try to pull them, and they're born during the millennial reign. They never have to deal with any of that. That's not cool. But here's the deal. Satan will be released during this time, and he'll torment people. This is his last chance to get people to come to hell. This is only for a short time. And then you go stand before God. Every single person who has ever lived stands before God. This is horrible. All these people are going to hell. Satan and the sinners go to hell, and then there's New Jerusalem. Oh, you got that first Thessalonians. I love you. Is that Zoe back there? I love you. Even if you don't know Zoe, give her a big round of applause. I love you. Let me tell you what the rapture looks like. And this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. Now, I'm going to share a lot of verses, but I'm not going to make you read all of them. But I do want you to read this one and the next one. Now, if I catch someone not reading, Larissa, Corey, if I catch you not reading, Luke, we're going to do it all over again. Are you with me? Here we go, real loud. For the Lord himself What do we say? Leave that up there. What are we saying? We will be caught up. In other words, you're living your life. Oh, let's just read the next one so I can pull the both of them together. Behold, I tell you. So what are we saying here? In a twinkling of an eye, in a blink, you can't do anything faster than blink. In a blink, you're here and then you are leaving the earth. You leave and you meet God, Jesus. You meet him in the air. This is the rapture. You're up. You're gone. You're up in the air in a moment, in a twinkling. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because I already did in the last 2 weeks. But what I do want to spend some time on is, what is heaven going to look like? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul had a near-death experience. Like, he went to heaven, and he saw things, and then he came back. And he said, what I saw was inexplainable. Like, I didn't have the words. I don't have words to explain it. But he comes down and he tries. And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about 7 things that you're going to see in heaven. But just know, it is such a horrible attempt to describe what it really looks like. But we're going to try. Now, Paul had a near-death experience, and he comes down and he writes it in Scripture. Now, there are people today that have had near-death experiences, and when they talk about what happened, clearly, they're crazy. They're nuts. But then other people have a near-death experience, and what they say they saw is exactly what the Bible says. And so they kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. Are you with me? Say yes. Come on, let me hear you. Say yes. Yes. All right, so we're going to dive into the first one. And the first one is the light in heaven. There is an overwhelming light that's throughout heaven. Now, it's kind of like the earth. The sun is not throughout the earth. I'm going to try to do this whole sermon without my iPad. Let me try it. Zoe, you are awesome. Like, you're ahead of me. I'm so impressed with you. What was I talking about? Give me my iPad back. No, I'm just kidding. There's a light that goes throughout heaven. The light that is outside right now is not throughout the earth. It's here, but if you get into an Elon Musk rocket and you go really fast to Asia, there's no light. It's dark over there. In Australia, it's dark over there. Allie's family is in Australia, or she's got some family there. She's like, let's go visit them. I'm like, no, because on the way there, I lose a day of my life. She goes, well, you're going to get it back going over here. I was like, I'm not playing with all that stuff. All right, I'm not messing around with it, but there's a light that it's everywhere. It's not like the sun, we're part of it. Let me share with you a scripture about this. This is in Revelation 21, verse 23. The city does not need the sun. Heaven doesn't need the sun. It doesn't need the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. I'm talking about Jesus. Now, I want to go to some people that went to heaven. And when they came back, they described what they saw. And it echoes what we just read. Now, let's go to Dean Braxton first. There was no need for a sun, because the glory of God was the light. Let's go to the next one. Even the grass shone with light. I could see the light moving through everything as if heaven itself was glowing with God's presence. I know this is beyond our imagination, but if you could imagine it, it wouldn't be heaven. It would be Kansas. Are you with me? Here we go. Let's go to another one. Cat Kerr. The light is alive. The sun, the light that we see coming from, that's not alive. It's just on. The sun, the light is alive. It doesn't just illuminate. It flows like a river. I can't understand this, man. But through everything, giving life to all creation. Like this is insane. So that's the light, but I want to talk to you about the music. The music. Now the first service was horrible at this. Horrible. And if you're watching, you love the first service and then you watch the second, I just want you to know, y'all gotta drink espresso or something. So I'm gonna sing part of a song. And I want you to sing the rest. You know it. You know the song. Look at the person next to you and say, if you don't sing, you're out of here. Like we're literally kicking you out. So don't sing it like the first service. The first service, they knew it. And they were like, blah, 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 blah. I want you to match my volume. All right, here we go. Sweet Caroline. Good times never felt so good. That's what I'm talking about. See, music here, it's not even if it's rap or country, it's all got the same kind of, you know, there's a bass, there's drums, it's all, one talks faster than the other. It's all the same. In heaven, it's music that we cannot even imagine. Let me share with you a point on music, Revelation 5, verse 11. And then I looked and heard, this is Paul having a near-death experience. He comes back and he tells us what he saw. He goes, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. They circled the throne and sang in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Angels are not humans. They do not have to breathe. So this song is constantly taking place. But those of us who are in heaven, when we look at the Lord, we're not going to be able to control ourselves. We're going to join in with the angels. And we're going to sing. And there's going to be lots of praising. It's not like you're singing the entire time. No. But when you look at it, you're not going to be able to help it. And you neither will need to breathe. Let me tell you what Don Piper said when he went to heaven. It wasn't just music. It was thousands of voices singing in perfect harmony, blended with instruments I had never heard. Her instruments. Have you ever wondered that? Like the flute has been around for 1,000 years. Can we come up with some new instruments? Right? It's been thousands of years. You can't come up with anything new. I mean, we got the drums. Before it used to be this, now it's like this. Can't you come up with something new? Right? In heaven, there's instruments you've never seen before. In perfect harmony. Watch this, Jesse Duplantis. Even the wind in heaven sings. Even the babies echo. No. Just kidding. I love your baby. Every step I took, I could hear worship coming from everywhere, like the whole place was alive with music. Let me share another one from Cat Kerr. Every object, trees, water, even the flowers seem to create music. It was like everything in the heavens was part of a divine symphony. I don't know if you've ever heard a symphony before, but you got flutes over here, you got horns over here, you got strings over here, and it all comes together, and you can't really pick out, like, if you know someone of the people that's playing a horn, you can't be like, oh, I hear Johnny. No. It all goes together, and our voices all go together. That's just the music. When I tell you, be serious about your relationship with God, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. I'm only talking about seven things you're going to see. Come on, let's go to the next one. This is the colors of heaven. Now, let's read this. Heaven has a spectrum of colors never seen on the earth. Let's go to that scripture. The wall, this is the wall of heaven. Heaven is a city. You can go outside of the city and there's, you know, well, I don't know what God's going to create. I don't know if you can go fly. Elon Musk can be really jealous because you can just go fly on Mars and be like, ah. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Gold, like not yellow gold, not white gold, clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. There's colors in heaven that don't exist here. There's really only three colors. There's really only three that exist here. There's red, blue, yellow. Now look at your shirt and see, is anyone here wearing something that's not red, blue, or yellow? How did that color come? They took those three colors and they mixed it like a cocktail and came up with the color that you have. You're like, let's put this in green. There's only three here. When you get to heaven, there's colors that you've never seen before. Let me share with you what one person said. I'm sorry, I got you. Let's go to, I think Don Piper makes the, there we go. The flowers weren't just red or yellow. They were colors I had never seen before. Like, they existed in a different spectrum of light. Let me share another quote. Jesse Duplantis, everywhere I looked, the colors moved. They shifted like and changed, not randomly, but as if they were responding to the presence of God, the glory of God that exudes. Like, what color is light? When the sun sends light onto the earth, what color is it? Don't say yellow, that's the color of the sun. What color is light? In heaven, the color is not coming from the sun. You can see the color, and it's alive and it's shifting. Why? Because it's not coming from the sun, it's coming from God. Can you just stop for a moment? God. Like, there's a God. There is a God. Here we go. Let me show you another comment from Dean Braxton. The colors in heaven seem to have depth and personality. They vibrate with energy. There's colors that exist. So I have another quote on that topic. There are colors that... Let me go to the next point. That's the colors. Let me talk about people. Like, what are you going to look like? I've got great news. You look awesome. My grandmother, she wore dentures. And she forgot to wear them often. She'd leave them in a cup floating. And I'd want to take the cup and be like, please. But I didn't even want to touch the cup. And she'd forget to wear them. And I'm like, at least wear them while we're eating. Just, I'm not asking a lot. But in heaven, her teeth are going to look like Trident gum. They're going to be straight as horses' teeth. You guys were getting the point before I said that. They're perfect. She was hunched over. She used to be 5'7", but then she's 5'5". She's going to be her perfect self. Let me share a scripture with you. He will transform our lowly bodies. Have you ever thought about this? This stinks. You ever thought about that? Oh, okay. Don't nod your head. You think you're awesome. That's fine. No, you're like, you think you stink. This? Awesome. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Like Jesus's glorious body. That's what the Bible says. But let's put that together with somebody like the Apostle Paul that went to heaven and came down. This is Don Piper. People looked perfect, not like mannequins, but like the best version of themselves, radiant with joy. Let me give you another quote. I saw my grandpa, but he looked like he was in his 20s. Now, that's what I'm trying to talk about. I was at a conference one time. I was just sitting in the audience, and the speaker said, raise your hand if you're 25 years or older. So I raised my hand. He goes, somebody needs to tell you this. You are not cool anymore. That really bothered me. But in heaven, we're cool again. I'm sorry, that meant a lot to me. Dean Braxton. Every person I saw was glowing from the inside. Their joy was visible. We're in heaven. I like this one. Kat Kerr. When they worshiped, their robes shimmered in beautiful new colors. New colors. New colors. Let me go on to what else you can expect to see in heaven. The landscape. Now, the landscape in heaven is like the landscape here, but it's just awesome. The best way I can describe this in my fragile, frail, inadequate words is if I go out there and I find a rock, and I pick up the rock, and I'm like, here's a rock, everyone. But then I go chip out of the side of a mountain a diamond this big. Well, they're both rocks. But this rock is trash, and this rock is awesome, but they're both rocks. So you're going to see things in heaven where you're like, hold on, that's a mountain. That's water. That's grass. But it's not like, here, look at those trees out there. That's rubbish. Look at those trees. Half of them are dead. When you get to heaven, it's like the trees are like, I don't have the adjectives. But let me read a scripture. This is Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates of heaven, that's what we're talking about, were 12 pearls. Each of the gates made a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Gold that was transparent. Let me share one more scripture with you. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. This is a quote that I want to share with you from Kat Kerr. There are parks and waterfalls and places of joy that never fade. Here's another one. I saw rivers of life, trees that sparkled Trees that spark. Can we just look at those trees one more time? Come on. I don't know where a tree stops and a vine begins. Like, trees that sparkle. You're like, I can't believe that. I know. Our brains stink. We can't imagine it. In the mountains that seem to breathe with energy. You're like, I don't get it. I know. Check this out. Let's read another one. I saw fields of light. How do you see fields of light? Like our brains, waterfalls of color and vast landscapes stretching beyond anything I could comprehend. If he couldn't comprehend it, how in the world is he going to try to explain it? But the communication in heaven, that's different. See, let me read a verse before I unpack it. Now I know in part, this is when Paul went to heaven. He had a near-death experience. He came down. He goes, I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. It's like he will know fully. It's like you can talk in heaven and you know fully about that person, what they're trying to communicate. Now, let me try to illustrate this to show you how this is not a big leap on how you communicate without using words. So the love of my life is on the front row. I love her dearly. If for those of you who haven't met her, Allie, stand up and just wave at everybody. She loves it when I do this. Love of my life. I can't remember where we were, but she mentioned to me, she says, you know, we've been married for 24 years. We've been together for 26. And I was looking in her eyes and I was like, wow, like, you love me. This is crazy. If I weren't me, I don't know if I would love me, but like, that was a good time to laugh. But I'm looking at her, I'm like, man, she's smiling, like she's bright. And then I said, guys, have you ever said something that as it's coming out, you're like trying to pull, like, duh. So I look at her and I said, wow, I haven't kissed a girl in 26 years. And her face went from, she didn't have to say a word. I knew. Sometimes when I look out there and I see faces, I can go, you don't want to be here. The only reason why you came here, somebody made you come, or you knew those seats were comfortable and you're going to be able to go to sleep in them. Now, are you talking to me? No. I can just look at you and tell, I don't really want to be here right now. You're talking to me. Or I can look at some of you and are like, you want to be here. Like you really do want more of the Lord in your life. You want to be here. That's what heaven is all the time. Like when I see Adam and Eve, I'm still a little ticked about them eating the apple. And when I see them, they're going to know. God does not remember any sins in heaven, but I have a feeling I might. I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. I talked about the communication. I want to talk about the appearance of Jesus, and this is the last one. Jesus is not going to look like those sorry paintings that we've been looking at. He's not going to look like that. Can I tell you, he's not a human being anymore. He's not a human being anymore. In John, I think it's 10:30, Jesus says this, if you've seen God, you've seen me. Jesus is God. He's one with him. But yet he's not. The Holy Spirit is one with God, but yet it's not. It's God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. You go, I don't get it. I don't get it either. But when you look at Jesus, he's not a man anymore. You're looking at God. Whenever we're praying, we should stop and pause right before we pray and realize who we're talking to. But this is what Jesus looks like. In heaven, Jesus is overwhelmingly loving and radiant. Overwhelmingly. You know, Pontius Pilate was the one when everybody was like, crucify him, crucify him, crucify Jesus, crucify. And a theologian shared with me, he read the book, one of the books that Pontius Pilate wrote. And don't email me and ask for it because I forgot it. And so you can take this for what it's worth. But the fact that Pontius Pilate saw Jesus as innocent and he washed his hands and he said, I don't want anything to do with this. Do you want to kill him? Kill him. This makes sense. He said, according to his writings, he says, all this commotion about this man named Jesus, I want to meet him. So he arranged a meeting outside of his palace in the backyard, in the back of his palace. They brought Jesus. And he says, I looked into his eyes. They were like liquid love. I realized who Pontius Pilate is. He was an evil man. And Jesus is looking at him with liquid love. Now you say, well, that's not in the Bible. I don't know if I can believe it. Put that last scripture up that we just read. The one right before that. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes and became white as light. The one where it says that he's loving. I'm sorry, there's probably one more before that. Yeah, his eyes. Now tell me this doesn't sound like what Pontius Pilate said. His eyes, his eyes were like pools of love, deep and filled with an understanding that was beyond words. Show me the next quote. Jesus had a purple sash and a golden crown, and his eyes were the most beautiful blue. His robe was white, but it was so bright, it looked like it was glowing from the inside. Now, I'm doing the best I can to describe heaven. And you can clearly see, I'm having a really hard time. But even if I had every word in the English language at my command, I could still not even come close. Paul went to heaven, near-death experience, comes down, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He says this, what I saw was unexplainable. Now, many of the quotes, and I'm going to close out the message with this final video. Many of the quotes that I shared with you was from a guy named Don Piper. And he was in a horrible car accident here in Texas on the Trinity River, on the bridge. And he was instantly killed. And in a moment, he was with the Lord. Some of you have asked me, where's my loved one? When they died, what happened to them? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. On their last breath, they're looking at Jesus. So he dies, and he's looking at Jesus. And some of you have seen the movie. It's about his story, 90 Minutes in Heaven. You read the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. But he was recently interviewed, and I've quoted him a lot, but in his own words, it sounds so much more powerful. Take a listen to this.
I was just there. I mean, it was just like that. I took my last breath on the bridge. I took my next breath at the gates of heaven. There are 12 of them, and I was at one set of them, and it looked like the inside of an oyster. It was so dazzling. I thought it was a living gate.
Yeah.
And it may have been, but it was because of the light off the gate. No sun or moon in heaven. God illuminates it. It was reflecting off the gate, and I was dazzled by that. But then I'm kind of panning down, and I'm looking to the eyes of my grandfather. I had been with him when he died, and was very close to him, adored him. I tell people I have a lot of broken bones, but nothing hurts like a broken heart.
Yeah.
When Papa died, it just was heartbreaking. The last time I saw him, he was in a casket. Mm-hmm. He did not look good. Now I'm in heaven, and he's there to greet me. He was missing fingers on both hands. He extended his hands to me and said, welcome home, Donnie, in a language I never heard before but fully understood. And I looked down at his hands, and his fingers were there. I'd never seen them before.
Really?
I don't think you sneak up on heaven. I think everybody up there knows who's coming.
Yeah.
You know, they don't miss us.
Time doesn't exist.
There's no time for them. So they'll pivot. We'll be right behind them in an earthly sense.
Yeah.
But in a heavenly sense, they're expecting us. And all these people who greeted me were expecting me. They knew I was coming. They didn't even know each other in this world. But in heaven, of course, they did. And they were the people who played a part in my spiritual life.
Wow.
They took me to church. They gave me a Bible. They told me about Jesus. They lived a Christian life in front of me. So I was greeted by those people at the gates, and what a great family reunion it was. But I left there thinking, who am I going to greet?
Yeah.
That's why we're still here.
Wow.
Is to help everyone else get there.
Yeah.
It is life. It's eternal life. Everything about it is life. The aroma is beyond anything I've ever smelled here. The color is beyond anything I've ever seen here. The embraces, the music was beyond any music I've ever heard. And I've heard some great music here. But there were thousands of songs in heaven at the same time without chaos. I could distinguish each one of them, except one song that kind of soared above all of them, Holy, 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 because He is.
Yes, He
is. So that music permeated me.
I cannot emphasize this enough. If you are not living for the Lord, if you don't find yourself saying, God, if I do this, is it going to hurt you? If you're not living for Him, you know you're living for Him when you want to please Him. And when you know you've done something that doesn't please Him, you know it in your heart, the Holy Spirit tells you. You back up and you say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. Would you help me in this area because I'm so weak here? Can you help me? There's a difference between wickedness and weakness. God sends wicked people to hell. But people who are weak, like me, when we say, I'm weak here, I need you to help me, but I want you to know I'm sorry. The enemy will whisper into my ear and your ear, you've asked for forgiveness for that 7.9 million times. But to the Lord, He doesn't remember the 7.9 million because you've already asked forgiveness for those. You know you're a Christian when you live to please Him. And you have a relationship with Him. You're talking to Him. If you don't talk to somebody, you don't have a relationship with Him. Just because you believe in God, that means nothing. Satan believes in God. It means nothing. But if you live your life, I love you, I love you, I love you. If that's the only prayer you ever pray, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now you have a relationship with Him. In the place that I just described, you will be there. But if you don't, you won't. And I am pleading with you today. If this topic bores you, this should scare you. It should scare you that when I talk about God, it bores you. Think about what is happening. It's boring. It's uninteresting. Think about where you are right now. It's boring. It's uninteresting. Shouldn't that alarm you? It shouldn't it, not that it does. But shouldn't it alarm you that it doesn't? I mean, come on. Life is not a picnic. It's warfare. And Satan's number one job is to get you to believe that he does not exist. And if that doesn't work, he'll get you to believe that he is not involved in your life. And I want you to know that if your heart is cold, if you're uninterested in the things of God, Satan is laughing at you. He's laughing. And my challenge to you is, if you feel your heart getting cold, come on. Come on. God, I should be more serious than what I am. I'm nervous that I'm not nervous. The Bible says this. In Revelation 3:16, that when you stand before God, if you are not hot, you're not passionate. And you're not cold, meaning it's not that you don't care. It's just you're not hot, but yet you're not cold. You do believe in him. The Bible says he will spit you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. Have you ever put something in your mouth and you just can't take it and you spit it out? It's like, this is disgusting. I'm not going to accept this. I'm spitting it out. That's what he does to people who are cold. And I want to say, if you believe in God, but you're cool, that means you're cold. Now, all of us, the enemy comes and he tries to cool our passion. And it happens to me weekly, if not several times a week. But what I've learned, on the first sentence, my heart begins to burn again. The first sentence, I love you. I think about who I'm talking to, and I say, I love you. And all of a sudden, the coldness that I felt, my heart begins to burn again. And I can keep that heart burning as long as I keep telling him that I love him. Why don't you stand to your feet for me, please? I'd like for everyone here to just close your eyes. And let me ask you a question. If your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, are you 100% sure that you know where you would spend eternity? Because if you don't, you're the most important person in this room. And I'm begging you not to leave this room without getting that straightened out. So in a minute when I say, let's all pray, I want you to tell the Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and from this moment forward, I'm going to worship you. And then the second group of people I want to talk to is, Don Piper said something that I'll probably never forget, and maybe some of you heard it, and you won't forget it either, but let me just repeat it. He said, everybody that had anything to do with encouraging me towards the Lord greeted me. Anything to do. And he goes, and I thought to myself, who am I going to greet? Like if I said anything to anybody, who am I going to greet? And so maybe you're ready, if your heart were to stop beating, you're ready to see the Lord. But now I want to ask you, is it a concern? Is it a priority for you to share, for you to invite, for you to be like Jesus? Is it a priority? Because for those of you that it is, you're going to be greeting a lot of people. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. How you live, you've heard this before, how you live shouts louder than you can talk. Would you just put your hands out like this, and in your hands, I want you to see that you're holding your life, you're holding your heart, and I want you to just tell the Lord whatever's on your mind. I want you to talk to him. Now, you can whisper to him. You can talk so softly that the person next to you cannot hear you. But I want you to talk to him. Holy Spirit, move in this room and touch your people. In Jesus' name. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready, but let's just sing this song one time through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. And may his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.